confiding in Katzenberg in a way he hadn't since long before Wells' death. After the Eisners returned to their room, he felt pain and shortness of breath and insisted on going to the local hospital. By then, the pain was gone. He had an electrocardiogram, which was normal. He decided it was all in his head. The next morning, Eisner went to a presentation by Tom Murphy, chairman of Capital Cities ABC. Eisner's talks with Dan Burke the previous year about ABC hadn't gone anywhere, but he remained interested in a network, especially since the FCC was dropping a long-standing rule that barred networks from owning the programming they aired. Murphy stressed ABC's intention to develop its own programming, which caused Eisner considerable anxiety about the Disney Television Studio's ability to develop and sell programming to the networks. Afterward, he called his secretary, Lucille Martin, told her he wanted to return to Los Angeles the next day, a day early, and asked her to schedule a stress test for him with his doctor. That evening, Eisner got a call from his regular doctor, saying that Martin had mentioned he was having chest pains. He suggested Eisner have the stress test as soon as he returned the next day and made an appointment for him at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center. Somehow it made Eisner feel better just to have an appointment. Things were under control. The next morning he went to Katzenberg's presentation, which left him agitated, given that at this juncture almost anything could have set him off on the subject of Katzenberg. As always, he was aggressive and outspoken, but he also interrupted the other speakers and cracked bad jokes, Eisner later wrote of the panel. He complained to Jane and Ovitz, who attended the panel with him, that Katzenberg was an embarrassment and shouldn't be representing Disney. They said he was overreacting. Jeffrey is Jeffrey, Ovitz shrugged. He's not doing anything new or different. At lunch, their wives urged Eisner and Ovitz to talk again, and after that year's Vanity Fair photo sitting, Ovitz suggested they take a walk. 10 minutes into it, Eisner paused to rest and said he'd rather sit down in Ovitz's condominium. They still seemed to be talking at cross purposes, Ovitz assuming that partners meant some kind of equality, while Eisner kept waiting for a Wells-like concession that Eisner would be in charge. They hadn't resolved anything when Eisner and Jane left for the airport. On the plane, Eisner watched tapes of the pilot for a new NBC show, ER, written by Ovitz client Michael Crichton and produced by Spielberg. Under the circumstances, a television show about a hospital emergency room was unnerving. When they landed in Los Angeles, Eisner went straight to the hospital. Jane met him there after dropping off their luggage. In short order, he failed the stress test, and an angiogram showed that 95% of a major artery was blocked. The head of cardiac surgery recommended an immediate open-heart bypass operation. As he was about to be wheeled into surgery, he made some last requests of his wife and sons. "I want to be buried above ground, not below," was first. Also, "I really don't want you to build the new house we've been considering because ours is fine and we don't need a bigger one." Finally, "If it becomes an issue, I think that either Ovitz or Diller would be good choices to succeed me." He also suggested that if anything happened to him, Jane should be named to the Disney board. "Fine, fine," Jane replied.